Thank you, Penny. All right, another chance to be with kids, our toddler room. Those who are involved in that can head out now for that. And I'm just going to, again, find myself some props. So just give me a half a second here while we get going on this. All right, we're talking about gathering at the table, so I need a table. I brought a table along. Need that and something to sit on. Use the stool. All right. Looks like we're almost at this cold, snowy day, so I'm going to welcome you to my table, okay? That's what you want to do on a day like today. Sit around with some favorite people and share some food, right? So I want you to think about a favorite meal. Sometime, maybe recently, maybe long ago, sometime when you think, oh, we were gathered around a table, and that was so good. That was just the best. So I want you to think a little bit about, what was that like? What was there? What were you eating? Who was there? What was going on? Can you think of a time, like a favorite time around a table? So think about a minute. I'm going to get you to talk about it. And kids, those of you that like to draw, is there any kids who like to draw? So I asked the ushers to make sure you got a yellow piece of paper when you came in. If you didn't, maybe ushers can... Is anybody missing a paper or a parent? You can just zip out. The ushers got them at the back there. But you can take that, and if you want to draw, I want you to find something to draw with, get some pencil crayons, whatever, get that together, and draw from your favorite meal. Think of your favorite time eating, what was on the table, because there's nothing on my table right now. So I need you to draw what needs to be on a favorite supper table, okay? So you draw something about your favorite supper. So you draw a picture of that, and I'm going to get you to come up later and put them up here, okay? We'll tape them up. So you draw something about a favorite something from your favorite meal, okay? It could be what you're eating, what you're drinking, who the people are, okay? Got it? So kids, that's your assignment. So the rest of us, and kids, all of us, just turn around for a minute. Tell someone a little bit about that favorite table experience you're remembering. What was it like? Who was there? What was going on? What was happening? What was so awesome about that favorite time around a table? Okay? So talk for a minute. Find someone and chat about your favorite table. All right. Well, I'm sure you can go on and on with the people you're talking with. And maybe, in fact, now you need to invite that person you were just talking with to your table, okay? So it's a challenge. You just talked with somebody, you can bring them to your table sometime and share some of that goodness. Tables are great, aren't they? Like, the table is such a special place in our lives, I think. Like, that eating together, something sacred happens. Now the question, of course, is when you think of that memory that stood out to you, that jumped to your mind, what was it that made that memory stand out? Like, what made that meal stand out above the others? Like, what was it about that time that changed things? That's a trickier question. I won't get you to talk about that one. You just put that one in the back of your mind. Let me tell you about a couple of table times I thought of this week as I was preparing. One a favorite, one not so much, okay? So let me tell you about these two. There's some similarities to them. They both happened while I was a student and studying in different places. So the first one was back in the mid-90s. I was studying philosophy at the University of Waterloo in Ontario. And I think I was a graduate student at that point, working on a master's, and it was a small department, and one of our professors, who was this German guy, like he had emigrated to Canada from Germany, thick accent, German philosophy prof, okay, there's your stereotype for you, and he invited, and it was a holiday weekend or something, I can't remember what it was Easter or Thanksgiving, and he invited a number of us grad students who were stuck in town, who didn't have somewhere to go, and he said, well, come to my house for dinner on whatever day it was. And so we went over. He's a very generous man, kind, gracious couple. But they were high-culture Germans, okay? So it was like classical music, right? Really expensive furniture, and they lived in this big, posh house out on the west end of Waterloo, which is the posh neighborhood. And the food was exquisite, fantastically prepared, beautiful, elegant meal, china, all that stuff. But I recall feeling awkward. Not only was I a long-haired philosophy student at that point, but there was more. Nothing against the hosts. They were beautiful, gracious people. But the whole conversation that just flowed through the whole meal had this undercurrent to it, because it was fellow grad students, right? Most of them doing a PhD, and I knew them all of them somewhat. They were my colleagues, but each of us were trying to make our way a little bit in the world, right? And here is a chance we're in like one of the leading profs' house, right, at dinner. And so what happens? Well, everybody does the little, I'm going to show off a little bit, you know, like, well, yeah, I think Immanuel Kant didn't have that quite right because I read this, you know, whatever. Like, that's the way the conversation tends to go, right? A very subtle rivalry, little tiny power games going on, a little bit of sucking up, all that stuff's happening, right, around the table. And, you know, I, knowing this prof, he probably actually really enjoyed that. But aside from that, you know, so there's lots of smiles, but there wasn't joy, I would say, at that table. And anyway, that was the one. Another table, different table, this is much later in life. We were in Vancouver studying. It was about 2010, We got together with four families from Atticus's grade one class. And because UBC is, again, a place where foreign students come to study, most of the parents, they were from four different countries. We were from four different countries. We were Canadian, one from Iran, one from Brazil, and one from Samoa. And if you ever watch Samoan rugby team, like this guy looked like his dad, he looked like he could make the Samoan rugby team. Like he was, they're giants in Samoa. Like if you ever met a Samoan, they're huge, huge people. Anyway, we gathered at their place, it was a potluck meal, and so everybody brought some of their food, like from their own culture and their time, and the Samoan chicken, oh my goodness. I don't know what they did, like they deep fried it like three times or something, so it was just like, oh, so good, and spicy, and just, oh, it was incredible. And so, you know, but as our young children all ran around on the grass and in the play area, we visited leisurely, and we were outside, and there was something really good there. There was like a curiosity about each other, an honesty, no pretension. We were just so interested in each other and getting to know each other, and just some fantastically interesting people. We were all displaced into Vancouver. We were sojourners there together. None of us were from Vancouver. Everybody was still highly educated, just like the first gathering, but very different, very different. So I don't know if you can relate to that kind of, the differences maybe between that. Maybe your favorite table was like my one in Vancouver, right? Maybe it was something like yours. Because not all tables are created equal. There's something powerful that can happen when we share food and drink. Like rivalries can break down or be built. Conflict or peacemaking can happen at a table. And maybe that's why Jesus specifically said, do table. Like he told us to do table, do this, do table together. So it's one of two practices. I've already mentioned them. The other one is praying together that we're going to introduce today. And when it comes to our experiences of praying together, my guess is that many of us could think of stories that are a little bit parallel to my two food stories. Do you know what I mean? Like prayer times that felt like having supper at my professor's house, where you felt a little bit inadequate, a little bit like these people are trying to do something to me when they're praying to me. And then maybe prayer times that felt like with our international friends, like a potluck like that, that felt like, oh man, we're just all in this together. This is awesome. We're praying. I don't know. Sometimes it feels just like Jesus is there when you're praying. And sometimes you're like, I don't know what happened. Okay? So, I don't know. We're going to explore this. Because at the center of these practices that we're introducing is this notion of presence. And we just sang about this, about Holy Spirit presence. Because every one of these practices that we're studying from the Gospels, from Jesus' life, it comes with a promise, a statement from Jesus that says, I'll be present in this, or some way I'm going to become present in this activity that you do if you only pay attention. And then kingdom, this God's way in the world, breaks in when we do these things together. So, just a quick review if you haven't been with us the last couple of weeks. So, we started with this sort of question, well, where is God? Is God with us because we believe in Jesus and God's with us special? We got some special package that nobody else has? Or is God just generically everywhere? No, God is on mission because God sent his son into the world and he moved him into the neighborhood. He got involved in all of our lives. God is chasing every one of us passionately. And if we respond to that presence, if we say, yes, Jesus, I get it. I want to be in with you. I accept who you are. Then Jesus sends us to go, and he says, as the Father sent me, so I'm going to send you into the world. And so God says, hey, you're into me? I want you to get in on the act. Let's do the same thing together. Let's all move into the neighborhood. And when we do, when we are present with people, we can make obvious the presence of the risen, living Jesus who's there by his Spirit. So how do we do that? Well, seven practices that we're introducing because they're things that Jesus specifically mentions. He tells us what to do. So, and I gave you this slide last week, seven practices, and these take place in three circles of our lives. The close circle, where we spend time with others who are aware and into Jesus. There's our dotted circle, where we welcome others in, like around in our backyard, or wherever it is, we invite people into our space. And then the half circle, where we go into other people's space. But it's one way of life in all of these spaces. Seven practices, we just do these things. Because you eat 21 times a week, right? Just as you do those, be aware of Jesus' presence. 7-3-1, a way to maybe remember it. A few clarifiers, maybe. I've had conversation with lots of you, and I love this. This is what this is about, right? This is fruit of conversation that our leadership have had over the last couple of years, and we want to continue this dialogue, and we're going to do that even at a potluck on February 10th, so remember, mark that in your calendar. It's in the bulletin. But a few clarifiers that some of you have asked. They're like, oh, is this like 21 more things to do, right? Because you go 7 times 3, that's 21 new things I got to add to my week. I got to check off. No. These are a way of being. Because you do these things, you already eat, you already pray. Well, how do we do these things? How do we commit ourselves to being aware of Jesus' presence in our programs at church, in the arena, at work, in our homes? And they don't earn anything with God. So you don't have to feel guilt or shame. Like you're not like, ooh, I'm going to go be the best. We can't earn Jesus' love. We just simply learn to be aware of his presence wherever we go. These are corporate practices, so just to clarify again, these are things we do together because Christianity is a team sport, okay? And yes, athletes who are on teams train individually, and you need to do that too, but then it's a team sport. It's when we come together that we actually do stuff, right? So these are team practices. They're mentioned by Jesus, as I already talked about, and they travel through all these circles of our lives, okay? So they permeate everything. So there's no church life and other life. It's one way of life. I'm a follower of Jesus. So last week we introduced the first two, the being withs, and Jesus promises to be present whenever we get down and be with those who might be overlooked, right? Children, or the poor, the marginalized, the ill, the sick, the imprisoned. We get down with those people who society wants to just ignore. Then Jesus says, I'm going to be there. And so it's here, like what we just heard shared. It's being with kids. It's being with the least of these. And they go everywhere. And whenever we do that, boom, it's like kingdom. Wow, Jesus shows up. So today, two more practices, gathering at the table and praying together. Now, it's not the first time we've talked about these two in the last year and a half. If you've been around, you might remember about a year and a half ago, we talked about gathering at the table as a core practice called the series Welcome to the Table. And we unpacked specifically this table, the one in front of us that we call communion, that we share regularly together in this space. And we talked about how that extends elsewhere. Then last spring, we spent a couple weeks focusing on praying together. It was in this series called What We're Doing There Here. And we pointed out how humans, in that series, I pointed out how humans tend to behave like chickens. Chickens don't like weakness in the flock, and so they'll peck a weak bird, maybe to death even. And humans act a lot like that, and prayer requires us to say, oh, I'm going to be weak. Hello. Hi, I'm weak. And we have to learn how to stop being chickens. We have to learn how to be weak and not strong with one another. And I think that's a key point I'm going to pick up on today, because it's specifically when we lay down our strength and our status and we submit and we say we get down, that Jesus becomes present when we're at the table and when we're praying together. That's when Jesus shows up. Okay, so we're going to pray and then we're going to get back to this table. So bow with me in a word of prayer. Father, Holy Spirit, Jesus, be present as we learn together right now for a few minutes. Teach us, shape us, conform us to your image. Amen. Okay, kids, how are you doing with those pictures? Can I get you, like some of you who are done your picture, can you bring it up? Like, be brave, come on up. Come on up, bring me pictures. We're going to tape them up here because we need something on our table. If we're going to have an awesome table, we got to have stuff on our table. Oh, dear. I ripped the tape out. Here we go. Okay, let's get some pieces of tape going here. What do we got? We got pizza. That's awesome. Pizza's like the best at tables. Chicken. What is here? Chicken grape fingers? Oh, chicken fingers. And grape juice box. That looks amazing at a table. Fantastic. Wow, we got so many coming. You can just pile them up here and we'll put them up here. Okay, we got like What's all here? Sausage? Corn? That looks like an amazing plate. Look at that. Oh, you guys, you got so much. I don't think I'm going to be able to read them all out. We'll get them taped up, though, hey? Does that sound good? We'll get these taped up. Oh, these look amazing. What do we got here? Pizza. Your favorite, Tina? Nice. I love it. I love it. Pizza, too. We got two votes for pizza. Pizza. Oh, looks like there's another pizza. Is this
a
pizza?
That's mine.
Or is that an orange? That's a pizza, hey? We'll get that. Oh, thanks, Diane. Nice. Mom's supper. Nice. Look at that.
My mom.
Yeah.
And CT.
And CT. When they're together at supper, when you're at home. Isn't that special? People. Thank you, Diane, for that. We'll get that posted up here. Oh, you guys are fantastic. Pizza's my favorite. Okay. Once you've given me mine, you can head back down if you want. What's on all on this one?
Pierogies and sausage.
Pierogies and sausage. Oh, is this Veronica? Is that this one here, John? That was awesome. Veronica, what else we got? Ben, what do you got on your plate? What's your favorites here?
Corn, Veronica, and sausage.
Corn, Veronica, and sausage.
And a juice box.
And a juice box, of course.
It looks like pop, but it isn't.
It looks like pop, but it isn't. That is important, parents. New Canada Food Guide came out this week, by the way. It looks like pop, but it isn't. Pizza and water. Man, the pizza companies are going to be happy, hey? They love pizza. Everybody loves pizza. Let's get all these pictures up here. Oh, we lost the tape. Oh, no. Oh, dear. Oh dear, we lost the tape. I'm not going to be able to tape the rest up. Let's read these out, though. Okay, we got smoked barbecue bun, sticky rice, sesame treat, lemon rice, squid, baked barbecue beans. My goodness, what an awesome meal that is. Dim sum with Justin. That's what this is. This is dim sum. That is fantastic memory. Thanksgiving at Grandma Harm's. Turkey, cream puffs, chocolate pie, cookie. It's like all dessert, basically, isn't it? That's awesome. Thanksgiving dinner, potatoes, turkey, cranberry, stuffing, salad. That looks a little healthier. Just kidding. Teasing you. More pizza. I love it. What do we got here? Hamburger helper and chocolate milk. Love it. Awesome. Thank you all. That is great. Super duper. Dim sum. Awesome. Great. That's awesome. What good tables, hey? Those are good. And I'm going to slip in one more. I'm going to say Jesus. Okay? That sounds like a pastor answer, but let's see if we can get there. So Jesus is gathered with his friends around a table. They're eating lamb and unleavened bread. Okay? It's the Passover meal. And Jesus says, do this, and Paul slips in the word, whenever you do this, when Paul records Jesus' words, remembering me. Do this, so, and what are they doing? Well, they're eating and drinking together. That's what they're doing. Now, true, it's a Jewish Passover feast, but I don't think Jesus meant to limit it to that. The church has never interpreted that it's only about the Passover feast that you should do this. No, Jesus is saying, do this, do table, and gather together, like get together around a table. And when you're doing it, do it remembering Jesus. Which, like if we think about that, we get out of the religious sort of sphere and think, well, what would that mean? Well, have you ever been to a meal of some sort, a gathering? Maybe it's a work party or a Christmas gathering or Thanksgiving meal with a family. And somebody stands up and says, hey, just before we start, hey, let's remember so-and-so, right? Because it's maybe the first time they're not there. Like it's a boss who got a transfer somewhere else or a promotion, right? Ah, our old boss isn't here. Yeah, Gary's not with us, whatever, right? Or, you know, Grandpa passed away this year. So let's remember Grandpa. Let's eat in remembrance of, right? That's not a weird thing. That's happened to you, I suspect. Happened to me. And what do they mean? What do they mean, they say? Like you might stop and have a little moment of silence or something, or a little prayer or whatever for Grandpa. But more, it means something else. It also means, hey, let's eat together like it would have been done by Grandpa or with Grandpa, right? It's like we're eating with our old boss, right? Like the old times, let's do this, right? That's what they mean by remembering. Maybe singing grace like Grandpa, you like to sing it, carving the turkey Grandpa's way, or telling your old boss's corny jokes, whatever it is, right? You do something. You do it their way. So when Jesus says, hey, whenever you're doing this together, whenever there's a bunch of people around a table, do it remembering me. So, is that what, yeah, I think that's what Jesus means. He means like, eat as if I was here. It means eat together the way I'd like you to eat together. That's what Jesus is saying. And then here's the difference between Jesus and Grandpa. Jesus, by the Holy Spirit, because he's risen from the dead, can actually, really, be present, become present among us. And you're going to say, that sounds mystical, Rod. Well, like, how can we do this like at our regular gatherings, Rod? What are you talking about? Well, let's read on in Luke's story about that table, okay? Let's just read a couple verses, starting Luke 22, verse 24. So, as they're having this meal, okay, Jesus and his friends, a dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest. But he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those in authority over them are called benefactors. But not so with you. Rather, the greatest among you must become like the youngest and the leader like one who serves. For who's greater, the one at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and I confer on you, just as my fathers conferred on me, a kingdom, so that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. So it's kind of like the supper I had with my prof, right? Here's Jesus' disciples kind of trying to suck up to Jesus or something. They're trying to, look how good I am. It's an easy trap for all of us as humans to run into. We just want to be better than the next person because it's a way of securing our futures. But Jesus says, hey, you know, that is how the world works, guys. But not at my table. Not here. Not in my kingdom. My kingdom, the prepositions are all different. Right? In the world, it's over, above, upwards. And in Jesus' kingdom, it's under, beneath, downwards. Right? That's the difference. Jesus says, look at me, I'm serving today. I'm the one serving the meal. And he says, I am among you as one who serves. And I'm among you. So I think that's the key to Jesus when he says, do this in remembrance of me. It doesn't mean just take a minute and go, oh yeah, Jesus, good, God done. No. We remember Jesus when we do table his way. Whenever we choose under, beneath, downwards, then boom, kingdom happens. Whenever people show up at the table and say, I'm going to get under all these people, then kingdom happens. Isn't that? Jesus says, you know, he goes on to say, I'm giving you the kingdom my Father has given me. Like, I'm, as the Father sent me, I'm sending you to do this so that you might eat and drink at my table in my kingdom. Notice those prepositions, my table, my kingdom. When we approach any table like it's Jesus' table, then it's Jesus' kingdom happens around that table. And the table becomes a precursor of the ultimate. Yes, this is an eschatological promise too. But Jesus is saying now, even when now, when you do this in remembrance of me, kingdom, boom. This is the inbreaking right now. And then Jesus says, then you'll be the greatest. You'll be sitting on thrones, right? You guys have been arguing about who's great. I am among you as one who serves. Then you're the greatest. Right? So it's Jesus' house rules at our tables. When we do that, it's Jesus' table and Jesus' kingdom, which means laying aside our pride and our grudges and our bitterness and, oh, I want this at the table. We put them down. Author David Fitch says this. He says, around this table, a space for the kingdom is or can be opened up. Our selfishness is revealed. Our grasping for control loosens. People's lives are disrupted. If we tend to his presence here, we inevitably will forgive, reconcile, open ourselves to renewal and healing. His rule takes on flesh among us around this table. God is reordering relationships and inaugurating a different kind of authority, the authority of his reign. That's what can happen at table. So let's make it real practical. Start with this one right here that we're going to do in a couple minutes. We serve gluten-free bread. Why do we do that? Because we don't want anyone to feel excluded from taking part. That's an important thing in our cultural context to consider. We can do that. It may not be your favorite bread. Sorry. It's not about you. We're doing things Jesus' way here. And Jesus' way is, I'm going to get under. I'm going to try to lift other people up. Submitting to others and their needs. We're going to choose downwards, getting beneath, paying attention to others. And this is part of the issue that Paul had to sort out in Corinth, in one of the churches, where they were all getting together. The rich people were all getting together early for their potluck, and they would just eat all the food, start before all the poor people had to work could get there. And Paul's like, ugh, guys, this isn't Jesus' table. You're not discerning the body of the Lord, he says. You're not paying attention, you're not aware that this is Jesus' table you should be sharing. Do you think Jesus would hog all the best food? Uh-uh. So here in the close circle, we try to, in this little tiny way of having gluten-free bread, we try to do it Jesus' way. Because Jesus is among us as one who serves. Which also has implications on how we come to this table. Because you're doing table with all these other people here. These other 140, 50, 70, 80, 100 people, whatever it is, here, you're sharing table with them. So what would it mean for you to lift them up, to get under everyone else who's here? Does that mean dealing with pride, bitterness, hurt, whatever it is? It's some like we want to come to Jesus' table. So that's the closed circle. Another practical example maybe for the dotted circle. I wonder if sometimes the way we think about hospitality gets in the way of doing table Jesus' way. because we're so worried about what other people are going to think about our food and our house and how clean everything is. And so then we're like, I can't invite my neighbor over for supper on a Thursday night because life's chaos right now. So of course I can't do that. So we're just going to eat alone. Right? Because it's like we're worried about who's going to be the greatest. So here's an idea I heard about when Rob Braun and I went to Edmonton to hear David Fitch, and one of the other speakers, Karen Wilk, who's a pastor in Edmonton, she said, this is what we've been doing in our neighborhood with her, just her proximate neighbors, random people, dotted circle. And they've started this thing called crappy dinners. Okay, that's what they call them. They say it's crappy dinner night. Okay, you come and text each other, it's crappy dinner night, are you coming over? And there's a small bunch of them on their street. And here's the rules for crappy dinners. You bring what's in your fridge, what you've got out, right? That's all you're allowed to bring. No special fancy stuff. Bring what you got. No cleaning up, whoever's hosting. You're not allowed to clean. The laundry has to stay on the sofa or whatever. Like, no cleaning up. And come and go when you want. Like, you come and go. If you got things up that evening, you just come and eat together. You share a meal, and then you go, right? You don't, no pressure, no staying, no big hospitality thing. I love it. That's a cool idea. Crappy dinners, right? Like, that seems like Jesus' way. It's a downwards way. It's saying hospitality, sure, there's times for that, to do the fancy meal. Special occasions, do it. But Jesus says, eat together, do this. So don't just do it twice a year. Do this. And then do it with friends and strangers all along the way and lay down your greatness as you do it. I think that would change the way we eat. Our gatherings, and we would see Jesus show up if we approach it with that attitude of getting under always, saying, oh, these people I'm sharing a table with, I'm going to submit to them. It's not about me. I'm going to get down underneath them. I mean, can you imagine? Like, I think that's how conflicts get solved. Maybe, you know, neighbors with their silly scrap about the, you know, garbage bins would just go away because they are laughing and sharing a table together, right? You know, or that couple whose marriage is just struggling over a table and some leisurely coffees afterwards, and you're like, they start opening up and they feel heard for the first time. Table. I think table is so powerful. We can do so much. That lonely person feels heard around a table because they've been welcomed. So, kingdom, table. I'm going to talk about prayer for about 3 minutes. I apologize. Squeezing these two practices together is tough. But much of what I just said about table, I think, applies exactly to prayer. Because we need to do prayer Jesus' way, which is downward, beneath, under. I submit to you as I hear you and as I pray together with you. I lift you up. John 15. Jesus says this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, right? Again, go out into the world, bear fruit that will last. And in that, or so that, the Father will give you whatever you ask him in my name. I'm giving these commands so you may love one another, right? In my name. I hear that, and I'm thinking that's exactly what Jesus said at the last table. He said, do this in my name, in remembrance of me. Pray in remembrance of me. Pray my way in the world, okay? Pray my way. Do it my way of doing things, which is the way Jesus is describing, of laying down your life for other people, of getting rid of your status and your importance and just coming. I am among you as one who serves, Jesus says. Jesus shows up when we get down, when we get under other people. It means we pray as one who is not strong. We do that by getting under someone else and bringing them to Jesus. Dietrich Bonhoeffer, offering intercessory prayer, praying for another person, means nothing other than Christians bringing one another into the presence of God. That's it. You come together in not strongness and you get under them and you say, Jesus, have your way. We can't fix this person. And when we do this, the kingdom comes. We're praying that the kingdom comes. And if we did that, I think it would become true what Bonhoeffer says in the same book, he says, it is in fact the most normal thing that in our common Christian life to pray together. I think if we just learned how to get under each other praying, it would become the most normal thing. The barriers are pride and our fear and our status, and then people who come in with status and try to fix things, and we just like, ah, comes from chickens behavior. When we let that down, when we do things Jesus' way, as David Fitch says, prayer is the opposite of striving and anxiousness. It's the profound act of giving up control of a situation, turning it over to the reign of God. And we do that praying that prayer, the one I prayed earlier, the disciples' prayer, the learner's prayer, which at the core, at the center, is your kingdom come. Jesus, we want you to have your way, not our way, because our ways are awful. And as we get better at praying this, we begin to do this in other circles. Like, we've got to learn it here with each other, but then it can start to travel outwards. And I think praying together is not something that's offensive to people when we do it in a not strong way. So around your table with your neighbors in your backyard on a summer night, and they're sharing about, you know, their aunt who's just been diagnosed with cancer and they're just hurting like crazy. It's not obnoxious to say, hey, let's pray. Can we pray together about this? They don't have to share your faith. I think 94% of our population would be, yeah. I mean, we have to do this with discernment, but they say, yeah, that's a way of caring. If you just say, I'd like to just pray about this to Jesus and say, Jesus, just be with this aunt. I'm learning this. I'm not up here as the guy who's arrived, but I want to be challenged to pray together more, even in the dotted circle and the half circles. When the moment comes, I'm not saying we should go around thumping people with prayer. That's not what we're supposed to do. We come under, and when the moment comes, we're like, I can't help it, but I want to take this to Jesus. So we're going to do a little exercise as we prepare for the table. We're going to do it by praying together. I want you to take your bulletins or whatever scrap of paper you can share. There should be some around somewhere in each pew. I hope you have a paper of some sort. You guys probably don't have one up here. Okay, you get part of the pizza. Can you give up your pizza picture? Oh, you guys got one there? Good. So take that little tear-off flap, and there's a bunch of blank space on there, or the back page, and just rip a space big enough for one word, okay? One word only. Tiny piece of paper, okay? Just rip out a tiny piece. Make sure everybody's got one. I made sure there's pens in every pew. And we're going to do a pass the prayer exercise, okay? It's only going to take a couple minutes. I want you to write on that little tiny scrap of paper one word. It can be in super uber code, but put one word, something you're like, I would love it if somebody prayed about this for me in my life, or somebody you know, something that's worrying you, something you would love prayer about. Just one word. It could be like job or mom or Frank. Well, no names, no personal names. Coworker or something. Somebody, you know, stress, sleep. One word about something. Okay? Just put it on there. No one is gonna read this and actually know what that is attached to you, okay? So write it down. One word of something that you would love somebody to pray about, to lift up. Because you're like, ah, can't handle this. Okay, one word. And then I want you to fold it in half. Okay? So nobody can read that word. I'll give you just a few more seconds to get a word on there. Okay? And then what we're going to do is five exchanges. Everybody's going to do five exchanges. Okay? So to get it somewhere far away from where you are. So I want you to find someone. You can get up and move around for a second and say, okay, we'll trade, and then you trade prayer requests, and then they go to someone else, and they trade, and someone else trade. So everybody do five, at least, trade your prayer request, and then it'll be a long way from you, okay? So quickly do that, okay? Trade it five times, trade your prayer request.
Oh, that's my second.
have one. Okay, and you can find your way back to your seat. Okay, so we've traded five times at least. So your prayer request is somewhere else in the building, okay? And you have somebody else's. And so we want to do our practice of praying together. As we prepare for this table, we're going to lift others up. We're coming under someone else, and we're going to say, Jesus, your kingdom come for this person, who I have no clue who it is, but it's someone in this building, and I'm going to pray for them. And we're going to use the template of the Lord's Prayer. You can put that slide up there, Doug. And you're just going to pray it quietly. I'd encourage you to say it out loud, but you can say it your traditional version. You can read the one on the screen, if whatever one you want. And the key phrase being, your kingdom come. So for this person who wrote job on here, Jesus, your kingdom come, and their job. Okay? So this is just a simple way to pray together. We're going to do this. It'll take 10 seconds, 15, 20 seconds, whatever. So start when you wish, and just pray the Lord's Prayer over that word that you have in your hand. Invite those who are serving at the table to come on up and join me here. Oh, maybe we're ready for the table, hey? That was table prep. We've come together and prayed. And it was real simple. But we just said, Jesus, your kingdom come for this person. We got under someone else. We lifted them up. And that's what we do at this table as well. We get under and we pay attention to each other. We do table Jesus' way. And then Jesus becomes present. And his kingdom breaks in. And something different happens at the table when we are getting under others. So I'm going to invite us, instead of me praying a prayer of thanksgiving over this, I'm going to get us to pray a table prayer. I don't know how many of you know this one, this table song. And it invites, it's one we've done in our family. It's to the tune of the doxology, the praise God from whom all blessings flow. So it's the same tune. And it's a prayer that asks, so you can turn around, you front people here. We're going to sing this together as a thanksgiving and as an invitation to say, Jesus, come be with us, okay? So we're going to sing it in a moment. Let me read the words, and then we will give thanks for the bread and the cup by singing this together. So we read that on that night, Jesus took a loaf of bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he did the same with the cup after supper, saying, this cup is poured out for you. This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. That's what this is. It's forgiveness and life. It's given for us because Jesus came and got under us and lifted us up by dying for us. So we invite him to be present. Let's sing together. Be present at our table, Lord. Be here and everywhere adored. Abide in us and grant that we may feast in paradise with thee. Amen. We'll distribute the bread and then all eat together. Body of Christ, broken for you. This is the cup of forgiveness. We'll distribute and all drink together. blood of Christ shed for you. You can grab a seat. We're going to go and into the rest of this morning, which includes some eating and drinking together, right? There's MB Stro back there. Children are going to have a snack downstairs. So as you do, pretend Jesus is there. Do it Jesus way when you eat together and drink together. So go in peace. And thanks, kids, again, for the awesome artwork. We'll bring that back to the table there and everybody can see it. Take care. See ya.